Greetings to the congregation. We also welcome those who are worshiped from home, worshiping along with us. The title of today's message is Aiming for the Target. Each of our lives has been created for a purpose. If there's no purpose, and think that life is so boring. But if we have a purpose and live without that purpose, and that life is also a failure. To have a purpose, we must complete and accomplish that purpose. Though that purpose may be a position in society, a king, a president, or an officer, or any regular job, a teacher, a police officer, or a worker. Each one of us must fulfill that purpose when we have been called to be His children. He put us here for a purpose, and God wanted us to be able to accomplish that purpose. We thank you, the priest and the Lord, for we have been called into His service. God can give us the strength. God create the condition so that we can fulfill the purpose He has given us. This is a pastor called serving the Lord in London. One day he was standing on a street of London, and he wanted to cross over, but there are so many cars passing by, and there's no stoplight there. And then the pedestrian must try to cross, so he was afraid to cross. And there is someone with a cane in his hand wanted to cross. And he saw someone there also, and the spurgeon said, "Mister," and he asked the Charles Spurgeon to say, "Please meet me across the street." And he looked at this person, and Charles saw that he was blind. And Charles feel stronger and led him across the street. And afterward, Charles thought, why? If without a blind, then I'm afraid to cross. But with a blind, I feel stronger. And so God gave him an opportunity. He feels stronger when he sees there is some strong that he's not afraid. And he let that person cross the street. With some fashion, God can help you and me to complete the purpose God has given us with the things that we could not understand in a way that we could not understand in a logic way. But God always has a way to help you and me to accomplish the purpose of our life. This morning, I want you and need to think about the purpose of Paul. He is aiming towards the purpose, and through the Philippians letter that we have read in chapter 3, verse 12 to 15, we will think how you and I can aim towards our purpose. There are three things we can share this morning. The first thing is we have to have a clear determination. The second point is that we have to have a zeal for Him. And then we have to have a clear commitment. Let's pray for guidance from the Lord. Dear our loving Father, we thank you, Lord, because you have saved us to make our lives to become meaningful for you. Please help us to live in a meaningful way, to aim toward the purpose you have given us. The devil can derail and forget our purpose. or can made us to be indifferent when we have been saved for a purpose. And through your word, may we be reminded so that we have to know what we have to do so that we can live according to the purpose that you have set forth for us. May you lead our life, help to fulfill the purpose you have given. May the Holy Spirit teach us about your word. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we want to share with you is we need to have a clear determination. Let's think about what Paul has in verse 12. But I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul has mentioned, I continue to press on so that I can win the prize that Christ has for me. There is a determination by Paul. This is a actualization from his heart to purpose, to follow his purpose. How does Paul can live according to the purpose of the Lord? He saw the motivation that is because I have been take hold of by Jesus Christ. In the years Paul served the Lord, he is very successful apostle. He went from country to country and different places, suffered under many adverse conditions and created many churches and brought many souls to the Lord. And now he is getting older, but the situation of his life is very hard because he was imprisoned in Rome. But there's no reason in his life to prevent the way that he lived according to the purpose for him. In his heart, Paul has a desire, and he said, it's not that I have won the prize or completed. No, not yet. And here, there is a desire. I have to press on so that I can win the position with Christ and win the prize that Christ has given. There is a motivation to drive him because Christ has a hold of him for himself. Paul was under the darkness against the power of Christ. And now God has taken hold of him from the hand of the devil, and he became a person to bring light of the Lord to the world. And he felt very proud for the purpose. And all his life, Paul will always has a desire. In verse 16, well, we have to keep our way. That means each of us may have different kind of faith and the talent to fulfill our purpose. Only some can only have just a part of our way, and some of us have always most complete our path. But doesn't matter where we are, remember, we have to continue. When our heart of yours and mine forget our purpose, maybe we will fail, though we have walked a long way. Rockefeller is a billionaire, and he was working in the oil industry. Somebody asked him, "Dear sir, how rich is rich?" And he said, "Only just a little bit more." Dear congregation, that means that if a person, a rich person, does not feel that he is rich, then that's the motivation to become rich. So in life of a Christian, the most dangerous thing that can attack us, that is when that person feels that it's enough. I know Christ enough already. I follow Christ this much already. It's enough. I have experienced this Christ. It's already enough. And my heart, there is no desire anymore of Christ. When our heart, when the zeal for the Lord has become cold, we will never have a determination to live for Christ. Job is something who expressed very sweet life with the Lord, but then all of a sudden, one day there are many tragedy happened. All his possession has been robbed. And the children that he loved so much, one day they died. The life taken away. He has nothing left, only his wife. And the wife is complaining to him that maybe not enough. And then in his body, he feels there are something in his body that causes him very annoying kind of sickness. It's suffering the body, and he sits in the ashes and uses a piece of glass to scratch himself. And a few friends come and visit to comfort him, thinking that maybe the friends can comfort, but only the friends were complaining. Maybe you have seen so much, Job, that you have seen these tragedies to come. For someone who has faith like you. But Job complains in verse 13-15, he says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Job's faith could not stop. He stopped. Others can criticize him about Job. And in reality, everything he has been wrong. But his heart, one thing, God knows the events of his life. God understands the situation. Though God can slay me, yet I will have hope in him. A person, a Christian, is not someone who is waiting to have a favorable situation, an opportune time, then we can live for Christ. But a Christian must recognize the purpose when God has saved that person, that we have to be carry out the purpose in our life. Martin Luther once said, the ultimate measure of a man is not what he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. And someone in our history has said, if something, the road is always straight, there is no hero. It is the struggle that will bring out the hero in us. Our faith life is a challenge, so that our hero can be expressed and found. And through these struggles to challenges, your faith and mine can be expressed in a clear way that we truly put faith in Christ or not. Our Jesus Christ has paid the largest price to take hold of us. It's not simple when Jesus must decline heaven, take up on the person like us, and face many struggle and many persecution, many shame, and finally sacrifice on the cross to pay with his life, Christ did. And he suffered the separation of God so that God, through Christ, can take hold of us as children of him. If Jesus did not do that, then if none of us can be robbed from the hand of the devil, he came to pay the price. So what? For what? To bring these souls back to the Lord. God. You have become taken away from the hands of the devil. And we belong to Christ. He has taken hold of our life, not to imprison us, but to become a children to become brother and sister to the one who shared the glory with the Lord. And we give thanks to the Lord. This is something God has reserved for His children. Do we have a determination clearly to see the purpose of our life or not? When God calls someone to be saved, God wants that person to complete the value that God has given to that person, the purpose that He has set for that person. If your life could not see the purpose as a children of God, we would not act upon that. When we take a responsibility, a job that could not understand what we are doing, then that person would not do a good job for that. Similarly, when we have been chosen and put in a representative, an ambassador for Christ here, if we do not understand that, we could not fulfill our responsibility. And Paul has seen this best founder that God has given him. Though many years he is in the service of the Lord, he has achieved many achievements in his service of the Lord. But even at this time, at the time when he is old, when he still imprisoned in Rome, that all the door has been closed upon him. But he see one thing, I have not completed my journey, my race, but there is so desire to run the race so that Paul will have opened the doors for him to continue his service. So the situation, the difficulty did not make us prisoner, but it's our undetermination that causes us to go back. The devil can use the situation that caused our zeal and determination to change, so we could not accomplish the purpose. But Paul has shared with us his own experience. He said, imprisonment does not prevent me. Weakness in his old age does not prevent him. And each time he is attached to a soldier, that does not prevent from his service to the Lord to talk about, preach the gospel of the Lord. Even this motivation, because the Christ has taken hold of him, that is the motivation for him, for his service. And there is a John Knox, an evangelist. He lived in the 16th century in Scotland. In that time, there was the reformation of religions from the Catholic Church that has gone far away from the Word of God. And there was arisen many to return back to the Word of God back in the 16th century. And John Knox grew up in a political situation that is based on the Catholic Church teaching. And there are a few from his time to rise up and reform the church. And in the Scotland country under Queen Mary Tudor, Queen Mary Tudor is a Catholic, and she go against anyone who reformed the church. And so whoever the reformers, she would kill any church reformer at that time. And she was called Bloody Mary, meaning a queen that's very, very bloodthirsty woman. And in that situation, John Knox has been changed by the Lord from a Catholic faith. He became an evangelical along with those in the Reformation that Scott had changed. So his life became someone who was put under dangerous situation because of Queen Mary Tudor. However, John Knox has praised to God like this. With a determination, he said, he prayed, "Give me Scotland or I die. And this is a determination of his role as the representative of God, whether give me my Scotland or give me death. And God has responded, if you allow to die of yourself to me, then I will give you Scotland. That means in John Knox there is certain desire that is not complete yet in the eyes of the Lord. Though his zeal has lifted up his prayer, give Scotland, give this country to me, or give me death. But God, the first thing that he said, you have to change yourself. If you want to die of self, then I will give you Scotland. And from there, John Knox has looked back, had examined himself, and saw himself as some desire, some wishes that can prevent the word of the Lord in his life. And he's changed. He become a prayer warrior. His determination to pray until the Lord saved Scotland, to make Scotland to go back to recognizing the Lord. That God was concerned with Scotland, with John Knox's time. And God answered John Knox. God answered to the, that Mary say like this, I hear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. That's what the queen said. She was afraid of John Knox's prayer, a pastor, more than any army of Europe. We see the value when John Knox knew his responsibility. He prayed for his country to change, for God to change Scotland, to bring Scotland back to God. Before we have learned about Elijah to be an intermediary between King Ahab and the Lord, and he prayed earnestly with a fearful heart. Maybe he could die, but he obeyed God's commandment, whether he go or come to according to God's command. And Elijah has brought the Israelites back to the Lord. They said, Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God, they shouted. Our God will use each one of us in a intermediary role to bring someone back to the Lord, to cause someone recognize the power of the Lord. But do we see that purpose in us to pray with God, please give me fulfill my purpose? John Knox has become a prayer warrior. And after the death of the queen in 1959, his prayer shook the land of Scotland and causing a revival among God's people there. I think that God can only use one Elijah to bring the Israelites back to God. God can use one John Knox to bring the people of Scotland back to God. God can use each one of us to bring our Vietnamese people back to God, to bring our loved ones back to God. I'm sure God can do that. But we need to see our purpose. When we see that Jesus has done for us, just like Paul has said, that is the principle for us to be successful in our service to the Lord. Our key verse, you have to be, do the best to present yourself to God. Our service attitude to please us, that's how we fail. It's to please ourselves. We serve to please ourselves and not pleasing to God. So when we look at the wish of God, He is wishing each one of us to motivate us to determine to live for Him. And according to Paul, to Timothy, you have to present yourself to God as a one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Our position in before God is a worker, is a laborer worker, but we would not be ashamed for that position for God. So may God bless you and me. We'll have the same determination as Paul. Dear God, I have not complete out my purpose. There are many things that you have given me that I have not accomplished. Please give us the strength so that we can go towards our goal, toward the target, while we're still on this earth. We have to have a clear determination. The second point, that is, we must have a zeal for the Lord. In verse 13, brothers and sisters, verse 13, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That is the calling of Christ in Jesus Christ our Lord. In this time, after many years, Paul is concerned one thing. I do not think that I have accomplished the goal, but I pay attention to one thing, one important thing to Paul at this time in his life, that is, there is the calling of Christ. The purpose has been put on Paul's life. So he expressed his own attitude. I forgot what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. This is something through action. To strain toward, to lunge forward. This is an action, a positive action that requires our effort on our part. You and I could not accomplish the purpose God has given us by an indifferent way, by a comfortable life, by letting the current of life carry us. We could not accomplish God's purpose that way. Paul has told us he did not look behind him. That means he is not satisfied with what he accomplished so far. And we the same way. Though we can accomplish many things, but never look behind and count on accomplishments, and we feel proud about those accomplishments. There are things maybe could not undo the same. But look at Paul's life. He has done so much that others couldn't do as what he knew. But I counted us all behind me. I did not look behind me what I have accomplished. Paul said, I only strain forward, lunge forward to accomplish the purpose ahead of me. The purpose that God has given me. And each day of our life, though we have suffered, He has accomplished so much. Nobody suffered as much as Paul. Nobody was beating as much as Paul. Paul could not, from place to place, like Paul. No one received shipwrecks like Paul has experienced. No one faced danger to the one closest to him as well as Paul has experienced. However, Paul at this time, he was imprisoned in Rome, and every day he was tied up with a soldier. But he said to God, "Dear God, I need to do something," Paul said. He lunged forward, the straining forward. how to win the prize. And he wrote to Philip from chapter 1, verse 16. He encouraged all the brothers in Philippi to recognize that he has done. In verse 14, I have been imprisoned due in faith in Christ to preach the gospel without fear. He feels that God imprisoned him has a value in here. That is, many others saw him in prison, but they are very bold in preaching the gospel there alongside with him. And here, Paul expressed his brother and sister, verse 13, the result is that all the officers as well as everybody else knew me because of Christ. I suffer for Christ. How could Paul preach the gospel while he was in prison? When he has freedom, he can come from a temple to that temple, from country to country to preach the gospel, to do many miracles, have the opportunity, the strength, the power of Christ, and many return to the Lord. And now imprisonment, every day is tied up with a Roman soldier. How could he preach the gospel there? But because he saw that he has not accomplished his purpose, he could see that he'd been called to do. He continued to aim forward. Any day that he is tied with the apostle, he talked to the gospel about that person. He did not have to go out. He just had to be in a crowd to preach the gospel. No, to Paul, if God give him an opportunity, if he is in front of the crowd, he will preach the gospel. If God the opportunity as an imprisonment like this, he would talk about the gospel to the to that soldier. And every day, just a different soldier retired with Apollo. And then Paul would talk to the second soldier. And then a change of guard, Paul would talk to the gospel to that. And all the time he was in prison, Paul said, the result, everyone, a soldier, knew about the gospel. And we thank the Lord for this. His action, Paul's action, always wants to look forward. He always wished to lunge forward to achieve his target, though in this situation could be uncomfortable. And because of that, the opportunity for the gospel to be spread is spread all over in Rome. Well, you and me, today, God does not require us to do anything above our ability. God does not require us to do something outside of the purpose that God has set for us. But remember, the devil can put us in chain by the difficult situation in our family or from the relatives. And because we can see these difficulties that occur in our situation or in our family that cause the prevention of us to fulfill our responsibility. Today, only the word pandemic is enough to put us in jail. The Christian in many different churches never will have a zeal for the Lord. I think many churches would have a study of Bible on Zoom. We don't have to come to church. And only a few join in the Bible study. What caused them not to come? Because the word pandemic, because of the fear, the worry of this, caused people to think we could not come to church, and we are changed in our attitude of worship. Dear congregation, the devil has put us in shame before. No, we have opportunity to come, but we are not very feel safe to come because we think that I can have this virus to enter my body or something. The devil can use only that to put us in chain. And we destroy our position that God has given us to do. But thanks be the Lord. Paul has given us an encouragement. I do not look of the things behind me. Though his situation is very difficult with Paul, but I look forward in the situation God given us, in the ability that God given us in this situation. God continue to use us, you and me, for his purpose. And Paul continue each day, even though tied to a soldier, he preached the gospel to that person. God wants each one of us to go forward above all the struggle, the challenges in our life that we are facing. And because I try to accomplish this person, that God, Noah has to overcome the flood to save his family. And from there, come a new nation. To accomplish his purpose, Abraham must overcome the Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son to the Lord. And from there, God raised up the people of Israel. To accomplish, Moses must overcome the desert to rescue Israel from the Egyptian slavery to return to the promised land. God's plan for his Israel is accomplished through Moses. To accomplish the purpose, God put Elijah to overcome the drought in 3.5 years so it can bring Israel back to the Lord. To accomplish his goal, the three friends Hebrew and of Daniel to overcome the burning furnace so that Babylon can see the power of the Lord. To accomplish God's purpose, Paul must overcome imprisonment to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. To accomplish God's purpose, God must put John to overcome the island of Patmos to open the children's, the eyes of the children to be revealed to know the wonderful plan that God has. He's accomplished all of God's purpose. How about us? Can we accomplish the purpose that God has been calling us to do? Today, maybe God will accomplish his purpose for you and me that overcome this pandemic, that the difficult economic condition or the unsettling political climate, to fulfill the purpose of our life on earth, to bring the kingdom of God to all. Our struggle right now is a reason to give us a determination, the zeal to serve the Lord. The key verse said, we have to do our best to present ourselves to God as a proof. The level of our worship, the level of our study of the Word Is it pleasing to God yet? And in our zeal to encourage each one of us, the level of your and mine to participate, to encourage each one of us, is it pleasing to the Lord yet or not? To accomplish this purpose, we have to have a determination, but also we must have a zeal for the Lord. Through our heart, but we also have to take action. The third point that Paul encourages is that we must have a clear commitment. Verse 15, Paul said, and if on some point, who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. The image when Paul is in imprisonment can encourage some of us, but also can make some disappointing to others. Maybe the image, we can pay the price to follow Christ, but maybe we'll maybe make many stumble and fear. But Philippians is a strange letter. A person being a prisoner to write a letter to encourage people out there, brothers, we have to be joyful. It's very strange. A person outside must encourage the one inside the prison, but now the prisoner is writing a letter to encourage from people outside. Be joyful. I repeat, make yourself be joyful. Philip Church, Philippian, has a very deep memory in Paul's life. It is the first church from Europe that Paul has been called in the second journey of gospel preaching. And he has a vision in Macedonia calling him to come. And he has this burden to go to Europe. And Philippian church is the very first church he established. And in Acts chapter 16, we learn that with a woman, Paul did not see anybody from the temple or from organization, but only a woman in a her house worship. Just a few persons worship in her house. But this is the place God will build his church in Europe. So Paul has established in 50 after Christ, after 12 years there. Now, in 64 AD, he was imprisoned, and he wrote back to the Christians in that church. And the memories God was a miracle, a wonderful thing. And from just a woman there, and a servant girl who was possessed by the spirit, and she was saved from them. And all of that memory, who was fearful and worshiping in them, from there, a church has been grown just from a home church. And Paul has a great memory of that. And at the time, he was imprisoned in Rome in the end of his life. Paul received a gift from his church. And someone sent from the church to bring Paul a gift to help Paul during this time. He was giving thanks to the Lord there. He said, the love that you have given me and encouraged with love, and so I write this to encourage you. Live for the Lord. He wrote, be joyful and live for your purpose. And this letter has been an encouragement for the church in the time when persecution was all over. In verse 15, and we are all mature. All means everyone that has belonged to Christ, who understood the purpose. So all include all the Christians, but it's also including the Christian at this church, whoever you and me here who can understand your purpose, each one of us must have this particular concept of lunge forward for Christ, that we would never be happy what we have accomplished in the past. Look forward, look at the purpose. It's the time we see Christ, so we can accomplish the purpose of our life that God has given us. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, I would not, because live for me. And if he died for all, Paul wrote, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I would not live for me, but live for one who died for me, Paul said. In 2 Corinthians. And this is the attitude one Paul wants to encourage his church. If we can see that a mature person, we have an understanding and recognize the meaning of our life, then we can say the same. I will not live for myself, but I live for the one who died and was raised again. We will always be focused on the things of facing the Lord. And you, that particular focus in the time when we face the Lord, none of us will be ashamed. Maybe some have that thought. Maybe some have never had this kind of thinking. Or maybe we have a different kind of thinking. But Paul said, I want to share with you, Paul said, not that I have, but it is from the Lord. So whatever you think, or you have never thought of this, God will bring you to the recognition of your purpose of life. There is the determination to follow our purpose. It's not because of us. It is coming from the Lord. A zeal for the Lord to lunge forward and live according to the purpose is not something of us. It's coming from the Lord. And a commitment from our life is to live for Christ. Though maybe have some position in the church or a different kind of life on this earth, the purpose of us must be our representative of Christ on this earth. God is wanting us for that. And if you have never this kind of idea, then God will bring us to the recognition of our purpose. We will live according to the Word of God. In 1968, there was an Olympics in Mexico City. Other runners, a marathon, have to run a race of 26 miles. And all the Olympians representing the church, everybody will accomplish the race. The race of marathon is very different. But the prize of the marathon, that whoever crossed the finish line is the purpose. So that all the Olympians of this marathon to make sure they will finish the race. And that day, and it is also, so at the end of the marathon race, but there is one Olympian, an athlete, is missing, and his name is John Stephen Aguari of Tanzania. and this person represent his country to run in the race. And before he got in injury and just a crack in his left foot, a fracture to his right fibula. But he thought that he is representing Tanzania. See, he must put his name down for the race, even though of this injury. Everybody has finished. The end of the race is almost closing. But the audience is waiting that all the athletes will complete the race, except someone who forfeited the race. But no news about John Stephen Aguirre is missing. After 2 hours, he has not appeared, and they wait another hour, and Stephen Aguirre was limping toward the finish line with the injury in his fibula. He almost had to crawl. When the crowd saw him, they were clapping and they encouraged him. And in his heart, feel something there encouraging. So he rose up, limping again. And faster he moved, he tried his best to run, and finally he crossed the finish line. He fulfilled his mission. Everybody was clapping. And then the press interviewed him. "This is very difficult for you. Why didn't you fulfill it?" Aguirre said, "I came from a foreign country 7,000 miles away. I'm not here to just start the race, but I come here to finish." Why did Aguirre have this kind of encouragement? Because he recognized he represents his country in this race. He is proud. As a citizen of Tanzania, so not only he has to finish the race because he represents his country, and when we see this image, you and I, to examine our own life, Hebrews chapter 12 show us that each one of us is in a race. And now there, some have accomplished already their race. They are surrounding us like a big cloud. He is encouraging us. They are clapping us. They are waiting for us. And they wish that we can continue to finish the race. So, Hebrew 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Focus to be pleasing to the Lord, like a worker for the Lord. May God use His word to bless you, encourage you to see the value that we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. May we all of one heart be of service to the Lord. Let's all stand and read the key verse one more time, so we can encourage our heart one more time. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, This morning is a Sunday of the first of the month, first Sunday of the month. We will have communion. And we have given you the cup and bread so that we can all fellowship with each other in this communion because Christ has died for us. We receive the cup and bread as a restoration to the race and promise that we will run the race and finish the race. So each one of us will receive the bread and cup. At your own home, you have prepared for yourself a cup and bread for this. We pray to the Lord. We pray so that we can be worthy of His love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you because we can participate in this race for the Lord, a race that aiming toward the glory of God in heaven. The devil can use many things to prevent us from accomplishing this goal in this race. Many months pass, maybe some of us has been forfeiting our race that would not want to accomplish the race. Because of difficulty in our life could be reason to prevent us from running the race. May the Lord encourage each one of our hearts. And in this time, we will receive the cup and the bread. It represents the body and the blood of Christ. The one who has paid the price to take hold of us, to take us away from the devil's hand. And with this, you have put us in this life. Please help us to accomplish our purpose that you have given us. May you help our heart will not be ashamed when we receive this cup and bread, as we will be running the race toward the final finish. May we see that we serve you without pleasing us, but to please the Lord. Give us strength, your strength, to accomplish the race set before us. With the thankfulness, we receive the cup and bread. Maybe we're worthy of this communion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.